seconds.
One time for the underdog.
One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. 'Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
You're listening to the Valuetainment Podcast, where we discuss various strategies that will help you scale your business to the next level. I'm your host, Patrick Bedivin, and today I'm talking to all you sales managers, sales leaders, all of you that have a sales team you are leading. We're going to talk about seven mistakes sales managers make. Sales managers, today I want to talk to you about a few things you're doing, you are doing that's costing you millions of dollars in commissions. And I'm going to speak to you from my own personal experience on what I did. In sales, I'm in Orlando right now at, what is the property called? This is called Caribe Royale, with top 1,100 of our salespeople. And we're sitting here and I wrote down seven mistakes sales managers make. And these are mistakes that I've personally made that I'm gonna share with you. Let me give you the first one here. This probably is above every single one of them that I wrote down on a sheet of paper. Listen, if you're in a relationship, okay, anybody you're with, if you're constantly afraid of losing your girl or losing your man, you've already lost them. If you are constantly afraid of losing your best salesperson or losing your third best salesperson that you have in your office or whatever that person is, you can't lead them anymore. You absolutely lost the idea of leading these people. Biggest mistake I put out number one is when a sales manager stops leading his people because he became too soft of wanting to make everybody happy. That is a very big problem. If you can't get over the fact that you're gonna lose some salespeople at times, you can't lead them better. Now that's number one. Let me give you number two. Kind of goes with number one. There are three different types of sales managers, and I'm gonna explain it to you in a way where hopefully it'll make sense to you. You got the communistic sales manager, you got the socialist sales manager, then you have the capitalist sales manager. Let me tell you the energy of each one of them, because the one thing you gotta judge an economic system on, these three economic system on, is what they produce. What types of people are they producing? In a communistic environment, it's about everybody being treated equally, which means, imagine I'm a real estate office, I get 10 leads. If somebody wants to buy a house, I give one to him, one to him, one to her, one to her, one to him. It's equally, because everybody needs to be treated equally. So your worst closer who hasn't closed since the 70s is getting the same amount of leads as your best closer that closes 80% of the time. You're a communistic sales leader. Socialistic sales leader is about being partly fair, partly equal. Not fully either. They're just kind of like, I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but I still want to make sure my guy makes more money than the other guy. A capitalistic sales manager does the following. Who's our biggest closer? Keep feeding them. 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 It's an environment where the top builders, top salespeople, top performers are being fed more than the others, because this environment produces a certain energy of competition that the other two are not going to produce. And if you're running a sales office, if there are no bickering, there's no fights, there's no arguments, there's no heated, there's no friction, there's no, I can't believe you won that, I can't believe this is it, how dare you, I want to be, if there's none of that really going on in a sales office where there's competition going on, you have a very boring sales office. I went to a company a couple years ago, this is a multi-billion dollar company, invited me to speak to 64 of their executives, VP sales. I went in there and I felt like I was at one of these, nothing wrong with Deepak Chopra, I felt like I was at a Wayne Dyer or Deepak Chopra event where everybody's holding each other's hands and I love you so much. We run a harmonious sales environment because, no, we don't talk like that and this. And they kept asking, we're trying to figure out why our sales are down 18 months straight. I'm like, you really need another sign? No one here is competing. No one is selling. Everyone is comfortable. You're not going to grow a business like this. What do you think it is in sports when you're in a competitive environment? You have to fight for that starting lineup. You have to fight to still be the point guard. There's a guy that could potentially take your... How many times in football do you see a quarterback could lose their position to somebody else? Is that a bad thing? Is that not harmonious? Or is that threat making the lead quarterback get better? That's the whole environment of a capitalistic environment. And sales, that works. If your business is flat, you're either a communistic sales manager or a socialistic sales manager, and you need to take a personal inventory of how you're running your business there. Let's go to number three. My favorite, but it's not number one. This is my favorite, peer pressure. I love peer pressure. Let me tell you, There's nothing more I love in a sales office than peer pressure. Nothing more. There's nothing more than Larry brought 6 sales in today, but Jackie brought 7. There's nothing more than Bobby made 193 calls today and Larry made 217. There's nothing more exciting in the peer pressure than it's Saturday night. Bobby wants to go home. It's 8 o'clock. He wants to go and kick it and relax and do whatever everybody else is doing. Jackie's sitting there saying, you go home first. You go home first. You go home first. You go home first. I'm staying a little longer. He leaves at 8:15. She leaves at 8:30. This is exciting. This is peer pressure. She made him stay 2 more hours when he was ready to leave at 6 o'clock. I love peer pressure. A great sales office with a lot of fire in it, there's a lot of positive peer pressure in it. And peer pressure is only in a sales office where the sales manager, the boss, the CEO, whoever you call yourself, give yourself a title, where that person allows for peer pressure to be there. And I'm going to go to my point number 4, which has to do with peer pressure. Listen, mistakes. I ran Harmonious. I ran Communistic Socialist. I'm the guy that ran. I know all this stuff because I've ran all this. It cost me a lot of money. But I adjusted. Right after 2 years, I adjusted. I was 23 years old. I made the adjustment. Let me tell you this other part here, okay? I love an honest office. Now, what do I mean by an honest office? Because, you know, salespeople, I've been a salesperson for a long time. Oh, if it was like, oh, I made 78 calls, 99 calls. Oh, it's only like 42 calls, whatever. Oh, I did this much. I'm going to do this. It's always a little bit of that lies in the sales business that takes place. Let me tell you what I mean by honesty. I used to, back in the days, have every problem come through me. So we're in the sales office, every problem come through me. I said, we're not doing this. I had no life. One day a guy comes up to me and he says, hey, Pat, this other person in the office said this. And I think it's unfair what they did. I said, did you tell him anything? No, I said, why not? Well, I just didn't want to, I wanted to bring, you're the sales manager. I said, no. You're unhappy with that. You need to call him out. You want me to call him out? Yes. Go keep him honest. Oh my gosh, I don't know. And then I would ask, did you yet? No, but he's irritating me. Either call him out and address him and keep him honest, or 2, get over it. But I don't want to hear about it anymore because I have other things to do. Which one do you want to do? Then they go address, friction, friction, friction. Boom, problem solved, come out. They both gain respect for one another. It needs to be happening. Honest environment. Reports keeps everybody honest. Numbers keeps everybody honest. Where I can see how many I did here, but I'm doing an accountability and I know what the numbers are. Those things keeps everybody honest. But I want an environment where everybody can call each other out. Everybody keeps everybody honest. Numbers keeps everybody honest. A sales office that doesn't have that and the reports aren't public, and you'll generally see, I'll go to real estate offices and I'll see that marker is a 6-month marker. Because I know old markers. I know it. I said, that's a dying real estate office. A dying real estate, a top sales office marker. You go to it, you just smell it. He just wrote it today. I like this office because I smell the damn marker. That's a sales office. When I can smell the marker. Because it's being updated daily. It fires me up to want to compete with those numbers if I'm a sales guy coming in. If I'm one of your sales guys. And if you're watching this, your sales manager doesn't do this, ask yourself, do you get fired up? Do you compete? When's the last time you worked a little harder than the other guy? Because there's no competition for you. You need it. Honesty. Number five is the 90-10 rule. Let me tell you what the 90-10 rule is. Remember how initially I told you, I said, stop being afraid of losing your best salesperson because you can't lead them. You officially lose the right to lead the person because I want to lead you. When I lead you, I want you to understand, I'm okay if you decide to go to a different place. I'm going to do my best to lead you while you're with me here right now. Sometimes coaches, oh my gosh, LeBron's on my team. No, if you're on my team, I'm leading you until you get traded or go somewhere else. But I'm going to lead you when you're here. And if you treat players like that, they stay forever. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, where did he leave? He's leaving. He's going to another place. Here's a 90-10 rule. I would much rather take 90% of my time and put it into one guy and teach him what I know. And then after him, the next guy and teach them what I know. And then the next guy and teach them what I know. Then take my 90% and put 1 here, 10% here, 10% here, 10% here, 10% here, 10% here, 10% here. Because I'm not building a killer. Every office needs the killer. Every team needs a killer. Every league needs a killer. Every industry needs a killer. I want a killer in my office. If you got a killer in your office and you got 20 other agents and one's killing everybody, that killer is firing up the other 19 agents is what it's doing. You need killers in your office. The only way you produce killers is by you putting 90% of your time on one killer. Then you move on to the next killer. Then you give birth to killers. And when your office has a lot of killers, killers only keep killers. That means that office, it's got so much peer pressure in it that you cannot help but be in there and be a killer. Because if you're not a killer in that office, you're getting killed being in that office. And that's the kind of offices I like to lead. That's why very few salespeople wanted to be with me initially. Calm down a little bit over the years. But when we were hot, listen, you better come perform it when we ran offices. Okay, now next, let's get to the next one here. Incentives. I used to do incentives, and my incentives will be in multiple different ways. Well, you know, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to get this thing here, and I'm going to give one of these things to every guy. Now, I've given away shark teeth. I've given them the most random thing. I'd go one time, went to Canada, and I bought a dinosaur tooth for $50. And it was the coolest thing that I gave away. It was a dinosaur tooth. Who wants a dinosaur tooth? But, you know, I give that away. I've done a lot of different things. But eventually, this is what I realized. If I'm spending $1,000 on incentives, instead of doing 100, goes back to the 90-10 rule, but this is incentives. Do 50% of your budget on one person. Then go, if you're doing three, 50, 30, 20. But put some of it, if you're doing $1,000, do 25% of the number one person, then take the 750 and put in everybody else. Make the number one guy get a gift that's above and everybody else what it is. Make that a sexy gift. Make that a cool gift. I mean, we ran a Dubai contest one time. The number one guy, I put him at Burj Al Arab. Burj Al Arab was $3,500 a night. Everybody else stayed at Atlantis. Atlantis was still $600 a night, but it ain't $3,500 a night, seven-star hotel. I remember that contest, right? If I'm running a contest and I'm giving up a Harley or if I'm giving up a Rolex, or the incentives at number one for my killers have to be above everybody else. The way you incentivize your salespeople will determine how many killers you give birth to. Okay, so don't take your money and chop it up evenly amongst everybody. And then last one I'll tell you is this. Let me tell you what the last one is. Here's what the last one is. The last one is knowing that, see if that's them because somebody's at the door. The last one is knowing that in the world of sales, man, I used to be so impressed by talent. I used to be so impressed by talent. Watch, these guys just came in. I'll give you a perfect story with them. Sheena, man, why don't you just, you guys, this is not even prepared. Why don't you come sit right next to me? Come sit right next to me. We're in the middle of an episode that you're going to be. Sit right next to me. We're going to be right in the middle of an episode. We got your guy as well. How you doing, baby?
Good seeing you.
How are you?
Good.
Good seeing you. So I'm on my last point with sales. Now watch this here. This wasn't planned, by the way. They literally came in. Camera guy is there as well. Point number seven. Here's point number seven. So I run regular accountability calls over the years, and I think you guys will remember this part here. We started doing accountability calls years ago, 13 years ago, 12 years ago, 10 years ago. But in the last 2 years, I started running these accountability calls. It's a pretty loud, okay. In the last 2 years, I started running these accountability calls. And we have salespeople. Some are more talented than others. We have some salespeople that are overly talented. When I tell you overly talented, I'm talking overly talented. And I, as a newer sales manager, used to be very impressed with people who were extremely talented. I would say, this guy's gonna kill it. But it had nothing to do with it. Let me tell you what happened. I'd say 9 months ago, let me know if you guys, was 9 months ago or 8 months ago, all of a sudden, Rodolfo and Ceci started putting unbelievable accountability numbers, right? Like, because they started putting up, they don't make your kind of money yet, but they started putting up accountability numbers on how many calls they were making on a week.
Absolutely.
They started saying, 560 calls a week, 39 appointments a week, right? All these bigger activity numbers. And here's what it came down to. I would much rather take a Sheena and Matt, first year they made 200, second year they make 8, I think they're at 830 right now, I don't know the exact number, with us, $830,000 in income that they take. I would much rather take a person I'm leading and building in sales that is focused on the efforts, the activity, then the talent. If I can have somebody that focuses on the efforts and the activity, that annihilates all the talent anybody else may have in the world of sales. Go and measure up your accountability numbers with what behaviors you want. Is it calls? Is it dropping off packets? Is it, you know, presentations? I don't know what your world sales activity and behavior is. Measure that. In the movie Moneyball, you remember Moneyball, right? With the story of the Red Sox and Oakland and all that stuff. And they brought this guy named Billy Bean. And Billy Bean said, in baseball, the most important stat, do you remember what it was? It's not home run.
It's on-base percentage.
It's on-base percentage. It's who cares how many home runs a guy hits? Who cares how many bases a guy gets? How many times, what percentage of the time does this guy end up on the base? That's who we want. So Oakland A's started bringing all these guys that nobody knew about. I mean, they weren't sitting home or nothing, but people were ending up on base. You know what happened? Red Sox come. I think they offer him a massive contract. What's the number, Paul? 23 million?
What? No, they offered him 12 million.
And he turned it down and he stayed? He turned it down. But then what happened? The guy took the concept to Boston and they ended up winning two World Series.
And then that guy went to the Cubs and won.
Really? Okay, that's the one part I didn't know about. So now watch this. Here's the part. No talent. Of course, you got some talent, but on-base percentage. So sales managers, don't be too impressed with your mostly talented salespeople. Be impressed with the people that are willing to do the activity that produces results, like the way these two guys have been producing results. By the way, what can they find you guys? They can find you what on Money?
MoneySmartGuy.com. MoneySmartGuy and...
Money smart guy.
So let me. You want him to snap you, or you want him to go on your website?
Yeah, good. Website's fine. Okay. Well, same thing on Snapchat. Everywhere. Instagram is all.
Anywhere you go is money smart guy. Facebook, Twitter. Yep. This just kind of happened. I don't want to stop it since they're already. We're about to go have lunch here together. Share this with your sales manager and do it in a gentle way because sometimes sales managers don't like this message. Say, hey boss, what do you think about this guy has to say? Do you agree with him or not? If your environment changes with this. It's going to make you a lot of money, and your sales manager is not going to mind either because he's also going to make a lot of money. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bid-David, and I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.